Let's take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. When we read this passage of Scripture, we may think, well, this really is not a Christmas text, and I would agree with you, it is not. But I want to remind you that this is the first Sunday in December. We think of December, it is about the coming of Christ, His birth. When Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago or so, His birth that day was not the end. We've got 3 weeks till the end of the year. We've only got a few weeks till Christmas. Isn't that exciting? Especially for all of the dads like me that haven't bought a thing yet. And we think, well, you know, December, that's the end of the year. It's the last month in the calendar. But may I remind you, it was the beginning. It was the beginning of the Savior's walk on earth. It was the beginning when He was born and He was preparing Himself to give Himself as a sacrifice for all of us. So as we read Acts chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 38, may I remind you that even though it's December and we may think that it is the end, it is really still the beginning. And as we get on with the message, you'll see how this ties in. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now look at verse number 42. Would you say the first four words with me? And they continued steadfastly. Let's bow forward to prayer. Lord, as we come before you, we ask and pray that you'd help us. Help us, Lord, to realize the importance of those first four words in Acts 2:42. And Lord, even though this is the end of the year, I pray, Lord, for some it would be the beginning of a new life. Lord, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray, Lord, that they would come to know you before it's eternally too late. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to hearts. I pray, Lord, that you'd guide and direct. Lord, do a work in our life that we are unable to do ourselves. Lord, that we might be able to glorify you in the process. And we ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. You know, most of us have probably taken time to read a novel or maybe sit down and watch a hair-raising movie on TV or on a DVD. Only to get to the very last chapter of the film or the last part of the film or the last chapter of the book to see these words at the bottom of the last page or the bottom of the end of the movie, to be continued. Don't you hate that? I mean, all of a sudden, you're brought up to this climax and then, to be continued. What we thought to be the end was really just the beginning of the saga. You know, I really thought Star Wars was over. And now there's, believe it or not, Harrison Ford is back in it. Who would have ever thought that after 30 years or so? But what we thought was the end is just the beginning. And you know, really the same is true for the Christian life. We stop and think about this passage of Scripture. The earthly ministry of Christ was over. Jesus Christ walked on the earth for 3.5 years. He was training his disciples, teaching them. He was healing people. He was showing compassion. He was bringing salvation to all that would call upon him. And then Christ was rejected. He was crucified. He was buried. And he was risen again. And some people thought that was the end. Now we find in Acts chapter number 2, 50 days have passed since the resurrection of Christ. The Old Testament feast day of Pentecost was taking place. People gathered. It was actually 18 different languages represented according to Acts chapter number 2. 18 different languages of people from all over that were Jewish that were coming together to meet that day for that Old Testament feast day of the day of Pentecost. And as they were gathered, Peter stood up under the power of the Holy Spirit of God and began to preach to them. He began to preach to them about Jesus Christ and how he was the fulfillment of everything that they were doing. And in verse number 37 of this chapter, it says, "And when they were pricked in their heart, they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent." In other words, he was saying, you need to get saved. Now look what it says in verse number 41. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day were added to them about 3,000 souls. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added to them about 3,000 souls. The end. The end. That's all. No. It's not the end. It's just the beginning. And a lot of people think, well, you know what? When I get saved, that's the end. And it's not. It's just the beginning. And there are some people that say, well, you know what? When I end up getting baptized, that's the end. No, it's just the beginning. Yeah. I remember a number of years ago, there was a lady in the old church building, and she attended our services for months. And finally, one day, she walked the aisle, and she was already saved, already baptized. And she says, I want to join the church. And I thought, oh, that's wonderful. And so we presented her to the church for membership, and everybody said amen. I never saw her again the rest of my life. She disappeared. I asked her daughter, I says, where is your mom? And she says, oh, she's just busy. I tried to make a call on her. She'd never answer her door. And I asked her daughter, I says, is your mom mad at me or something? Oh, no, she's just busy. And then she finally, after 3 or 4 years, never coming to church again, moved down south, and as far as I know, she's gone home to be with the Lord. That's been quite a few years ago, and she'd probably be about 105 right now, so after 30 years. So I thought to myself, you know, she had a misconception about this. Joining a church is not just the end, it's just the beginning. Amen? Salvation is just the beginning. Getting baptized, it's just the beginning. And you know, the Bible says here in Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 42, and they, talking about those individuals who received the Lord Jesus Christ, those individuals who ended up getting baptized, those individuals who were added unto them, they continued steadfastly. We all need to realize that when we get saved and we get baptized, we join a church, it is not the end, it is just the beginning. We are to continue. Amen? I want you to notice several things today about those who continued. Those who continued, verse number 42. If we are going to continue, I think, number one, we need to be saved. Because here's the thing. You might be able to continue in your marriage. You might be able to continue in your education. You might be able to continue in your relationships here on this earth. But if you die without Jesus Christ, you'll continue no farther. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If we are going to continue throughout eternity in a place called heaven, Jesus tells us we must be saved. In Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Must be saved. So number one, those who that continue here in verse number 42, they continued steadfastly. They were saved. They were born again. I believe that those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that we have been made a new creature in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm a new creature. In John chapter number 5 and verse number 24, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. When you get saved, you pass from death unto life. When you get saved, you become a new creature in Jesus Christ. Listen, becoming a new creature in Christ is not the end. It's only the beginning. Amen? A new beginning of walking with the Lord and a new beginning of serving Him and a new beginning throughout all of eternity. Listen, if we are going to continue of any length of time, number one, we have to be saved. And if you're not saved today, you need to get saved because the Bible says that He commandeth all men everywhere now to repent. Amen. According to Acts chapter number 17, verse number 30. So number one, those that continued were saved. And then notice what it says in verse number 41. Then they that gladly received His word, that's being saved, were baptized. Now, the word baptize means to dip or to immerse. If you're going to call it what God calls it, you got to do it the way God says to do it, or you can't call it what God calls it. Amen? That's just not a play on words. That's just the truth. If I was to say, hey, Brother Bob, I know that you're real busy, and let me change the oil in your truck for you. And Bob says, sure. And so I say, okay. So I bring the truck over, and I take the oil plug out, and I let the oil drain all over the ground, and then I take the new oil filter, take the oil filter off, put it on the ground, let it drain all over, make a real mess. And then I take a new oil filter, put it on top of the engine, and I take 6 quarts of oil, and I go ahead and I pour it all over the top of your engine. Now, I'll say, hey, Brother Bob, I went ahead and changed your oil. And Bob looks at it. He starts up the engine and it starts clinking. Smoke starts rolling out. He pops the hood. There sits the new oil filter on top of the engine and oil all over it. And he says, what did you do? I says, I changed the oil. He said, you didn't change the oil. You made a mess. Now, Brother Bob, did I change the oil or did I make a mess? I made a mess. If I'm going to go ahead and change oil in a vehicle, I got to do it according to the owner's specifications or I can't call it an oil change. I can go ahead and say, I can say, oh, I really believe I changed the oil. I really believe it. I believe it deep down in my heart. I'm very sincere, Bob, that I changed your oil. Now, you wouldn't doubt my sincerity because I'm really sincere about changing the oil, and I want to make sure that I did a good job. So I even added an extra quart of oil over top of it. Now you may say, well, you know what? That's crazy. It's about as crazy as someone calling baptism when it wasn't done the way God said to do it. Amen? You cannot call it what God calls it unless you do it God's way. Amen? So what is baptism? Well, number one, baptism is for saved people. You'll never find in the Bible where baptism was for a baby. Never. Infant baptism did not come to be until 517 A.D. when the Roman Catholic Church instituted baptism upon people who could not read and write, and they said, unless you get your babies baptized by our priests in our church, they're going to go to this fictional place that they made up called limbo. And they're going to have to burn in this place, similar to hell, until you pay their way out.
It was a money-making scheme for illiterate people. And today, people are not illiterate. They should not fall for things that are not biblical. Amen? You'll not find limbo in the Bible. You'll not find purgatory in the Bible. And you'll not find infant baptism in the Bible. Listen, if a person is going to be baptized, you got to do it God's way, or you cannot call it what God calls it. Amen? Baptism is always for believers. They believed and they were baptized. A baby can't believe or disbelieve. We find that in the Old Testament, in 2 Samuel chapter number 12 and verse number 23, that when this baby died, David was all upset, but after the baby died, he was okay, and they said, "We don't understand. You know, why are you all right now?" And he says, "Because when the baby was alive, I prayed that maybe the Lord would not take the baby's life, but now that he is dead," he says, "I know this. One day, I can't bring him back to me, but one day I'm going to go to be with him." And so David was saying, "Listen, children automatically go to heaven, and we don't need to have some ritual performed by man in order to try to wash away their original sin." That is false doctrine. So number one, if I'm going to continue, I need to be saved. Number two, if I'm going to continue, I need to be baptized. So what does it really mean to be baptized? It is a mark of identification. Just like when a man and a woman stand before the minister or the judge, and they take their vows one to another, and they exchange rings, and that ring is a mark of identification. Now, I'd hold up my ring finger, but I'm not wearing a wedding ring today. But you know what? I'm still married. Since I've been working on the building, my fingers have swollen up, and I can't hardly get my ring on and off. So, anyway, it's in my drawer at home, but hopefully I'll be wearing it soon. But it is a mark of identification. Baptism identifies us for who we belong to. So we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am publicly identifying with Him. So therefore, it's not the end, it's the beginning. Notice verse number 41. Then they that gladly received His word, saved, were baptized, they're identified. And the same day were added unto them. That was the 120 that was in the upper room. That was the local church that was there. They were added unto them. Boy, talk about church growth. You want to see your preacher get excited? Go from a church of 120 to 3,120 in one day, one service? I'll tell you what, I'd probably have a Baptist-costal fit. I probably would. But they continued because they were added unto them. The word added means to become a part of. I want you to stop and think about it, ladies. Let's say, for example, there's a young lady, she just got married. And the next day, after their honeymoon was over, the husband says, "Well, I got to go to work." So he goes off to work. Work is over, he doesn't come home. She says, "Well, that's kind of odd. I wonder where he's at." She calls, he doesn't answer his phone. The next day, that night he never come home. Next day he didn't come home. That week he didn't come home. That month, she never heard from him. He never sent any checks to support her. He never did anything to try to take care of her. A year goes by. No communication, no contact. She's searching frantically. She hears that he's in another state, got another job, living his life. She can't get a hold of him. 2 years go by. 3 years goes by, and all of a sudden, he comes home and says, "Hi, honey, I'm home." Could you imagine, as he walks up to his wife and says, "Hi, honey, I'm home. Boy, I sure have missed you. I love you." She probably looks at him and says, "Liar." Amen? Because if you love someone, you're going to be involved in their life. If you love someone, you're going to take care of them. If you love someone, you're going to desire to be with them. You see, those that continued were added unto them. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25, it says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." And I realize that there are people that get sick and people that end up moving away because of job circumstances. But listen, you get saved, you get baptized, you get added to a church. Don't let 3 years go by before you grace the doors of the church again. Amen? There's just something wrong with that whole thing, that whole scenario. So they were added to them. They were a part of them. That's what made them continue. You know, I've met a lot of people in my Christian life. They got saved, they got baptized, and then they were hit and miss on church. More miss than hit. And they didn't continue. Matter of fact, their marriages didn't continue. Their walk with God didn't continue. The reading of the Word and their prayer life didn't continue. There was so many things that just fell apart. You know, God has got the local church established for a reason. To give us strength and to give us guidance and to give us help during times of need. And so many times people say, "You know what? I don't need that." Well, I tell you what, you must be stronger than me because I need it. I need the fellowship of brethren. I need the fellowship of God's people to help me and to strengthen me. And you know what? You're not any different than I am. They continued because they're added to them. Look at verse 42. Look at these that continued. It says in verse number 42, "And they continued," how? "Steadfastly." They did not waver. They did not change with the direction of the wind. They did not float away with the direction of the tide. They continued steadfastly. When a person gets saved and baptized, or they come forward for salvation, in the front of my Bible, I've got a little thing that was given to me from my home church where I was saved, and I put it here. It says the Big Five. I've narrowed it down to the Big Three. But there's really three things every Christian needs. The Word of God. Pray with God. And the people of God. If we will do those three things, we will continue. There's been a study that's been done. A person that is a Christian, unfortunately today, has this almost the exact same statistics as the lost world when it comes to marriage. There's just about as many divorces in Christian homes as what there is in non-Christian homes. But they did a study, and they said if in the Christian home, the husband and wife will read their Bible. Instead of, for every marriage, there's now 1.6 divorces. Now all of a sudden, the divorce rate drops to 1 in 10 if they read their Bible. If they read their Bible and go to church, the divorce rate drops to like 1 in 50. If they read their Bible and pray together as a family and they go to church, the divorce rate drops to 1 in 400. You say, what are you trying to say? You want to continue? Do the Big Three. Read your Bible, go to church and pray. Amen? And it'll help you to continue. You see, the Bible says here that in verse number 42, "And they continued steadfastly. Why? Because they were saved, they were identified, and they were added to them, and they didn't quit. Now I want you to notice what it says in verse number 44 and 45. Look at Acts chapter 2. So we find here that they continued because they were saved. They continued because they're identified with Christ. They continued because they became a part of them. They continued because they did so steadfastly. And then in verse number 44 and verse number 44 and 45, it says, "And all that believed were," what's that next word? "Together. And had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need." So that tells me this. They continued with one accord. Look at Acts chapter number 2. Look at verse number 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one," what? "Accord." One person wasn't in it for themselves. They're all together, working together to glorify God. You want to continue? You want to continue for God? I would say to yourself, I need to get out of the way. I would remind yourself, this is not about me. This is about God. And we need to be in one accord together, striving for the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, if your agendas are not fulfilled at Grace Baptist Church, the answer is not to look elsewhere. The answer is to look inward and find out, what is my agenda? What is my agenda? Is my agenda to glorify God? Is my agenda to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is my agenda to live a holy and a separated life unto God? That ought to be our goal and our agenda. The Westminster Confession, the very first question, or the what they call the catechism, asked the question, what is the chief end of man? And the answer was, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That is what our goal is. Those that continued, verse number 44 and verse number 45, they were all of one accord. Look at verse number 46. Notice these that continued. It says, "And they..." That's talking about the 120 and the 3,000 that was added to them. "And they continuing." How? What's that next word? Oh, daily. "They continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness to heart." Singleness of heart. The Bible says not only did they continue with one accord in serving the Lord and giving to the Lord, but they continued with gladness. A number of years ago, I shared the gospel with a woman and her children, a single mom, and reluctantly, she bowed her head and asked the Lord to save her. She came to church for a little while, and then she quit. And she wrote me a letter and thanked me for dragging her kicking and screaming all the way to salvation. And my heart broke. Because with that statement, I realized she never probably got it. Because nobody comes being drug, kicking and screaming to the cross. If a person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, they see their need of salvation, they fall down before God and say, Lord, I'm a lost sinner and I deserve to die and go to hell. And they call on the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, save me in Jesus' name. You know what? I've never found a person that has ever said, I really regret getting saved. Now, I've met Christians that said, you know what? I'm struggling. I've met Christians say, you know what? I'm having a hard time living the Christian life. By the way, this preacher sometimes has a hard time. And if you never have a hard time, would you hang around with me a little bit more? Maybe some of your goodness would rub off on me. Amen? But you see, the bottom line is this. We all struggle in life. We all go through deep valleys and through deep water. But the bottom line is, we will continue if we have gladness. And we serve the Lord with gladness. We don't do it because we're being peer pressured into it and we're, well, you know, if I don't show up and if I don't do this, you know, the preacher will come knocking on my door. That's not the reason. We ought to go ahead and we ought to do so with gladness and with singleness of heart. Verse number 46. They continued because they had a single heart. What is your life all about? What really motivates you? I heard a preacher one time say, and I believe it's true, if you want to see what really motivates somebody, look in their checkbook. See what they spend their money on. And there, you know, it's amazing the amount of, I mean, thousands of dollars that people spend on just frivolous things. Somebody did a study. They say that there's more money spent on dog food and cat food in this country than what there is for missions in our country. Of all churches, of all denominations, there's something wrong with that. Now, I believe that Fido ought to get fed. Amen? I don't begrudge Fido of his biscuits. But, you know, the bottom line is, I think we're kind of out of whack on all this stuff. They say that there is more money spent on Pepsi-Cola and Coca-Cola every year than what there is given to churches. There is something wrong with that. I know people that can't go 2 or 3 days without having their fix on an energy drink. But they can go months and months and months without ever going to church. There's something wrong with that. You see, those that continued did so with singleness of heart. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I believe that as a child of God, listen, as a child of God, I believe that we have an obligation not to just say, hey, it's the end. But we have an obligation to say, this is just the beginning. In John chapter number 8 and verse number 31, Jesus said to the Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. In John chapter 15, verse number 9, as the Father hath loved Me, even so loved I you. Continue in My love. The Bible says if we're going to go ahead and continue, we need to continue in God's love. We need to continue in God's word. In Acts chapter 13, verse 43, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking unto them persuaded them that they would to continue in the grace of God. We need to continue in God's grace. In Acts chapter 14, verse 22, it says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. You know, some people have cast off the faith. They say, I don't need that old book anymore. I don't need what the church teaches anymore. And they don't continue. But the Bible says we are to continue in the faith. In Acts chapter number 26 and verse number 22, it says, having therefore obtained help from God, I continue unto this day. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I continued. In other words, he persevered. You know, there's something about bulldogs I like. Especially pit bulls. There's a locking mechanism in their jaw. When they bite down and clamp down on something, it doesn't release. A Christian needs to be like a good old-fashioned super pit. And when he chomps onto it, he's not going to let go until he chomps through. Amen? We need to have some old-fashioned bulldog tenacity. And I think Christians, many of them, they don't endure, they don't persevere like they should. Colossians chapter 2, verse 4 says we are to continue in prayer. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 16, it says, take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. In Hebrews 13, 1, it says, let brotherly love continue. In 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 14, it says this, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Christmas time. Is it really just the end of the year? It was the beginning of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Salvation? Is it the end? No, it's just the beginning. Identified with the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it the end? No, it's just the beginning. Being added unto them, is it the end? No, it's just the beginning. Amen? As a child of God, I believe that we are to continue. Not to say, well, I've completed it all. We cannot say that until we get to the Apostle Paul's, like the Apostle Paul's life, where he said, I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous Lord shall give me in that day. And not unto me also, but unto all them that also that love is appearing. The Apostle Paul, when he in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 6 through 8, when he said those words, he was at the end of his life, he was in prison, he was waiting for the executioner to come and actually decapitate him. He knew what was coming. And that's how the Apostle Paul died, and probably just a few days or a few weeks after he uttered those words. That's when he said, I finished my course. Until we are ready to meet the Lord, we have to continue to run the race that is set before us. Let's not sit down on the sideline. Let's not just throw up our hands and say, I quit. Let's continue. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, and the road you're pressing seems all uphill, when the debts are high and the funds are low and you just want to give up, can't quit, as the old poem says. Don't quit. Let's bow forward to prayer. Let's be continued. We need Christians that will continue, not quit. If you are saved, it's not the end. It's just the beginning. Let's live for God. Let's be steadfast. Let's be in one accord. Let's serve the Lord with gladness and singleness of heart. Salvation is not the end. Salvation is the beginning of a glorious eternity. Let's live for God. Are you continuing for the Lord? Or have you stopped? Have you ever got started? Has there ever been a point in time in your life when you've repented of your sins and asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior? If not, then today you need to come to Him for forgiveness and for salvation and a brand new start. And God can give you a brand new start. Let's be continued. Father, we ask and pray that You'd help us today. Help us, Lord, to realize the importance of continuing on. I pray, Lord, Your blessing upon this time together. Bless this invitation, we give it to You in Jesus' name.